This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap.
Hello, hello. This is the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap, episode 349. This is Raj Sen.
I'm Jayashree Arunachalam.
And
welcome to this episode of Awful and Awesome.
So, we have foreign Indian. Indian means regional, this thing.
Regional, correct.
Because we are constantly accused of only reviewing Hindi things, which is not true. It's an unfair accusation, but I'm just saying that we have taken it to a different level itself this time. Because we have a Malayalam thriller, we have a Punjabi film, we have a... And then we have an English series, of course.
And we're really subverting it by making the Tamilian on this podcast review the Punjabi film.
Yeah, because the Bengali said, I can't bring myself to watch this. But I did watch the promos. That felt like the film only to me. I just want you to know.
So, I expected much more from
you. Yeah, I also expected more from myself.
Highly disappointed. See, no, but also my colleague told me the other day that... He feels that I'm the kind of person who, when I was in school, I would be like, oh, I didn't study at all. And then I actually would have studied. And
yeah, even I get this feeling.
But he's right.
Yeah, so. Even I get this feeling. So to be fair, which our producer will also vouch for, I always watch everything usually. This is the first time because I was traveling on work. Till Friday night. That's my excuse for this. But
you're playing an Abhinandan.
Yeah. You know, I'm so busy, guys. What can I do? I still took out time for this recording.
I had to walk to my living room where I'm sitting without power. Okay. So I'm really committed.
We are all suffering for our art. But what do you want to start with?
We can start with the one we both watched, which would be Baby Reindeer.
I've watched the other one also, Autumn. Don't make it. You made me sound really bad now. There's only one thing I watched. So before we start with the meat of the podcast, we have the meat of the headlines of what has happened in the entertainment world. Gunshots were fired at Salman Khan's Galaxy apartment in Bombay on Sunday at 5:30 a.m. Police have arrested two suspects. One of them was Vishal Bishnoi, brother of Lawrence Bishnoi, the jailed gangster. I think poor Salman Khan will never live down this black buck thing that happened. Even he must be like, why? Huh? It's never going to go away.
And meanwhile, Eleanor Coppola, the renowned film documentarian, writer, and wife of Francis Ford Coppola, passed away at the age of 87. She'd earned a Primetime Emmy Award in 1992 for her documentary Hearts of Darkness, a filmmaker's apocalypse.
I watched this documentary. It is really good. Because they were mad in this film. It's, you know, like everyone was drugged up and all. So everyone was in it. Martin Sheen, Marlon Brando,
But what is it about?
It was based, it's on the Vietnam War. It's set in the Vietnam War, that one, Apocalypse
It's about Now. Apocalypse Now. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's about, because it's called Hearts of Darkness, because Apocalypse Now was based on Heart of Darkness.
That sounds like a fun documentary.
Yeah, the behind the scenes is hilarious, like, because you realize how, like, cuckoo this entire crew was that he was working with. Fahad Fasil's comedy, Avesham, surpasses, Jayashree will tell us.
Varshangalika Shesham.
In box office collections by 3 crore. The film has netted 16 crores in India within 4 days of its release. I find Fahad Fasil very hot. This is an addition to the headline.
I saw him once in Cochin Airport, but I was too shy to go up to him. Also,
he was
walking
little?
Very fast into a corner.
Tell me, is he very
he's
little?
Very short.
Yeah, he looks he's very little and slight.
And he's a short guy who in his movies is just playing a short guy. They don't.
Yeah, he plays, that's know, what. He's like a short guy only, huh?
Yeah. So I'm very keen to watch Avesham, but I'm also very keen to watch Varshangalika. So
I will also watch.
But that may be the awful recommendation next time. And finally, your favorite star of reels, Akshay Kumar, has a new action comedy, Bade Mia Chote Mia, which has crashed at the box office.
Oh, with Tiger Shroff.
Made from a massive budget of 350 crores, film collected less than 45 crores, despite a 4-day extended holiday weekend. Producer Vashu Bagnani had earlier claimed it would gross 1,100 crores worldwide. What a fool.
Vasu Bhagnani's son, I would like everyone to know, is Jackie Bhagnani. These are the things that I know. Nobody else might know. It. Jackie Bhagnani also wanted to be an actor. Then he's become a producer. But he realized everyone can't. He acts. He's done a few films. Yeah. I don't think he acts that much anymore. So Tiger Shroff is in this film. And if you were privy to my Insta reels, you would be flooded with the promos. And they keep making reels of themselves, Akshay Kumar and him.
But does your fandom of Akshay Kumar extend to you watching his movies?
No, that's too much. No, but I like Ye Dil Lagi. I really liked Ye Dil Lagi. And I have watched some others, but I'm not like a fan of... He's a very good-looking man though, I think. Yeah. In a traditional Punjabi way.
Now he's very like plastic.
Now he's too old also now.
I think the last movie I watched of Akshay Kumar was...
Which one?
Garam Masala. Which must have been
Masala.
20 years ago
or something. I have nothing to say now.
I watched it three times in the theater. So
on that note,
it was a boring time in my life.
We will get into more wondrous things that have happened in the world of entertainment. So Baby Reindeer is a new series which is on Netflix. It's been created by comedian Richard Gadd. And it's based on a true story in the sense that this actually happened to him. He used to have a stalker for around 4 years who used to attend all his shows across the country. She used to send him like strange gifts, like a cap, a baby, a stuffed toy, that kind of stuff. And he has said that even he had behaved in a manner which might have encouraged her. And Gadd plays himself in this, Richard Gadd. I don't know, is his name Richard Gadd in the show? No. I don't think
so.
It's something else. What is it?
Is it Colin?
Donnie.
Donnie. Yeah. Wow, we really watched it very closely.
Yeah, clearly. Donnie stays in England in, I don't know if it's London really. It is London, I suppose. But they don't really take you to, yeah.
Yeah, because his pub is in, he's a waiter at a pub in, he's a bartender in Camden.
Yeah, so it's like London, extended London.
Yeah.
And a woman shows up at the bar, this slightly dumpy, sweet-looking woman whose name is Martha, and who comes in and he offers her a cup of tea, basically. And she says that she can't pay for it, so he said, that's okay, it's on the house. And then things start unraveling in his life.
Yeah. So my intention was, I was like, okay, there's no way I'm going to finish an entire series. Yeah. Also, 7 episodes was too much. Also, this is very much the sort of show I think I avoid because it seemed, I mean, he's a comedian, but it's not a comedy.
Yeah.
And it seemed very intense. So I was like, okay, for my friend Rajshri, I will watch maybe 1-2 episodes for context. And then, we'll call it a day. And I'll have enough to, pepper you with questions. Man, I binged it over like 4 hours, I think.
Yeah, I think I sat down and watched it and I started watching at, I think, 10 p.m. So I was watching till around 2 in the morning I was watching it. But it was worth watching, I felt.
Yeah, so I understood the show, right? In the first episode, like you said, he's a struggling comedian. He works in a bar and then this odd woman comes in and, she is overweight. She's a little peculiar. Yeah. She sort of pretends to be this hotshot lawyer who's friends with David Cameron and Nick Clegg.
And you can make out she's lying. That's the thing. Like, while she's saying it, it's not like in the next episode you figure out. You can make out that she's...
Yeah, she's obviously deluded or something. And so I instinctively disliked it. Also because I felt the characterization of her as, she's... middle-aged, though about the same age as him.
Yeah.
She's overweight. Therefore, since she's also overweight, she's more of an object of pity. Uh-huh. And he also admits to feeling, feeling sorry for her. So he chats with her. And then she comes back every day. And then she starts sending him mails. And those mails are...
Mails are fabulous, absolutely.
Yeah, and you're not quite understanding what's going on. Also, the fact that she's sending it from a random phone, but at the bottom of every email she types, sends from iPhone. So, okay. So I was like, okay, I got it. Like, I understand this show. This show is about this man and this woman who is very conventionally supposed to be unattractive. Hmm. And he's sorry for her and then she becomes obsessed with him. And then you wonder why he also encourages her a bit, you know, like he doesn't seem to dislike her, even as he sort of thinks she's a little bit off. But then you think, okay, maybe he likes the attention, you know, typical man, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, but man, then it gets into that backstory and I found it
devastating. It was really, so it's very well scripted, I felt, because even when it gets into the backstory.
Are we giving spoiler or no spoiler? No,
we'll give some spoilers because otherwise you'll take a break, watch the show, then come back and listen to this. Like, how much more could you get of Baby Reindeer then?
Yeah. But episode 4 in particular is where they really tell you why he is the way he is. And then...
And so he starts dating a trans woman. And even that, like, you do wonder why is he suddenly on a trans dating site, right?
Yeah.
And you get into, you realize...
And under a different name. So he's clearly hiding.
He has a fake persona totally, as in he says he's a construction site worker.
Clearly it's something new to him because he joins an app for the first time. He changes his name. So you assume there's some shame, but you
something
can't really
like you can't understand
what?
the psyche behind why is he doing that. Then the stalker also finds out that he's like, she starts becoming a little more unhinged than you think she would be. Yeah. So she becomes like a possessive girlfriend. And it's just so her behavior actually is more normal in the sense that if I'm a stalker, that is the way I will behave. But his behavior as someone who is being stalked and who seems to have no sort of psychological problems or so on in the beginning, you keep wondering why, like, his character is the one which actually starts unraveling more and more. You get into why he does what he does. And she's a convicted stalker. When he Googles her, he finds out that she has been convicted. She spent time also in jail, a few months and so on. But despite knowing that, he's
adds her on Facebook.
Yeah, adds her on Facebook. Like, it's almost like an addiction on his part also. But I felt the way her character is shown. So I was reading his interview, and he said, I didn't want to show her character as an object of pity also. But I do feel more like, you feel quite compassionate towards her at certain points, because especially when she's sitting at that bus stop and it's cold and she's crying.
She's been there for 15 hours just because she wants to see him when he leaves his house.
Yeah, it's taking his house out. It, like, you just feel a little, or when you go to her flat, when you see where she lives, it's just all very sad, I feel.
Yeah, she's like clearly got some hoarding tendencies. It's very dirty. But again, my thing was that I expected the show to have that because I just thought it would be a story about a man and his stalker. But so in episode 4, though, there is this reveal, which is, so he's a struggling comedian. His comedy, let us objectively say, is not...
not the best.
Not the best. He relies heavily on props and things, and it's all seems very antiquated and just not funny. So then you find out in episode 4 that when he had been much younger, he had, again, when he was a struggling artist, he went to Edinburgh to perform at the Fringe, but like he wasn't really getting any numbers. People weren't coming to see him. And then he met an older man who seemed, you know, quite polished, worked in the business, said he'd help him. And then you realize over the course...
I kept telling him that I will help you get ahead in the business. That's the hook that guy has.
Exactly. And then you, over the course of that episode, you realize that... That older man did
sexually abuse.
Spoiler, right? So he did rape Donnie several times. And then the question is, but then why did Donnie keep going back? But also because he was in the cycle where he thought he was going to get famous. He thought he had to do this to get ahead. And then that is like the halfway mark of the series, right? Yeah. And then everything just falls apart and you realize this is why he is this person and how he's so tragic. And then he says this thing at the end where abuse makes you the the sticking plaster for all life's weirdos.
Yeah.
And he feels that's why Martha came to him. That's why he also is maybe empathetic towards his stalker, because he's just, I don't know, his mind is fucked.
Also, the dynamic. So his parents actually come across as very, I loved his parents. They are in Scotland. Oh, he goes there. Weren't they adorable?
I wept.
Oh, and that father is so like a traditional father. He's not mean to him or anything. He's just not comfortable hugging him.
He doesn't show affection. But I feel like it's also like a lot of Indian men.
Right?
Not demonstrative. He won't say, I love you and hold your hand and all. But
they really step up when they need to step up. And I think the conversations that his father has with the stalker are just hilarious, because his father's relentless about carrying on telling her to bugger off, absolutely. But that, so it's all, I felt every character, even those two boys he ends up sharing a flat with. His ex-classmates, they are like for 10 minutes you see them on screen maybe, but even their characters are extra. It's just, so there are some lighthearted moments, but you come away from this, it's like a study in psychology.
But it was such a difficult watch. I was cursing you. Like, it was Sunday night.
Wasn't it good? It's like a difficult watch, but it's a good... And I also felt his interactions with his sexual abuser was very... Yeah. So that conclusion... Yeah. Is just, you know, it's all so great because people behave like this. That's a, because so often we even tell our friends, right? Why are you even doing this? Because you're just being an ass and you have no self-esteem and you must not be. But people
just
behave.
Don't talk to him.
And someone's treated you so badly, you know. But people behave in unexplainable ways. And which is what I think this show, like, really shows you that. There is no rationale or justification for some of the behavior that seemingly intelligent people are showing.
And there's no tidy sort of ending, no. Like, it's not that, well, you were violently abused, you maybe confront your abuser and you come away with this closure. Like, you want it, and most movies would show it in that sort of way, to sort of end everything in a way. But here it's not. He meets his abuser. Certain things happen which surprise all of us, and you're like yelling at screen, like, what are you doing and all. But maybe that's just more reflective of how life is. And that's the thing, no, I don't like watching realistic life depictions, because, you know, I feel like life in general is so distressing.
Is it anyway so tiring sometimes? Yeah,
and, you know, when I was Googling this, it said comedy and all. So you're like, oh, great. You know, quite a lighthearted Scottish man.
So I thought it would be like that. So Sumukhi Suresh had done this, had scripted this show, which I really had loved, where she's a stalker. It's called Pushpavali. And again, she's like Martha in that sense that she's like the slightly dumpy, sweet looking, but she's not popular with men, all that. And you start off by feeling bad for her, but then you realize she's this horrible stalker. So but Pushpavali was far funnier, but it had like really sad and tragic parts to it and all. But this is a different level. So I highly recommend it, I think. But I have friends who, by the way, started watching it, and they said, we found it so intense, we couldn't watch it.
So I also, I think around, so again, there are lots of content warnings, especially for very, for depictions of rape and so on. So in that fourth episode, I did have to fast forward, you know, like 10, 20 seconds at a time.
Oh, you did?
Because I was too upset to watch it as it happened. So, but I'm so glad I stuck through and watched it, because also, like you said, it's, you know, it's very graphic, very distressing, but it's also very tender.
Yeah.
And that entire thing with the parents at the end, you know, so he comes clean to his parents. He tells them everything. He's like, I don't know if I'm your something or your gay son, but I don't want to be your dead.
Also, he said, do you think I'm less of a man?
And then he says, I don't want to be your dead son. And his parents take it so astonishingly well. And I was like, my God, if the parents take it poorly, then that's it. Like,
also, I love that train scene when he's leaving, the way the parents are behaving.
His parents come to see him off, and the father is just waving.
It's very sweet. It's a lovely this thing.
Yeah, I would say this is not at all, this didn't at all feel like a Netflix show. So that tells you like everything.
So there's this show which I actually prefer to, you haven't watched it, it's called Coupling. It's a British show.
I love Coupling.
Yeah. Like
the very old Coupling. I love that Coupling.
And I feel it's better than Friends in a way because it's a little cleverer, more intelligent than...
Yeah, it is fabulous. And it was... My so favorite good. Used to be Patrick. And then there was also that entire scene. And then Patrick came back in The Crown as Princess Margaret's
that was
lover.
Too, it took a little bit of getting Patrick. Used to. But now we will discuss something else which is on Netflix, which I wanted to watch. Actually, I didn't want to watch, so I didn't watch it. Which is Amar Singh Chamkila, which is Imtiaz Ali's new film, which is a biopic of Amar Singh Chamkila, who used to be, I find this a bit of a stretch, but he was known as the Elvis of Punjab. And Diljit Dosanjh plays Amar Singh Chamkila. And he used to sing, so tell me if I got it right, he used to sing with his wife Amarjot Kaur, who is played by Pariniti Chopra. And his songs were known for being very, almost vulgar and bawdy. And, but I find most Punjabi rap songs and all like that. So I'm a poor judge of that part. But it was known for being very graphic and... like sexual songs and so on.
The thing is, okay, I will say at the outset, I did not dislike it.
Okay.
I'm actually quite glad I watched it. I thought it would be one my awful for the week.
Yeah.
But
okay, then I'll watch it.
Yeah, it was okay. Like, I don't think it was a fantastic film. It was fine. So I have no context at all about Punjabi music or Punjabi singers. So it was a very new... I mean, I know about the insurgency and the militancy and all, but I know very little about... people. And I also don't know Hindi, so I depended on the subtitles. I will say straight off that the subtitles are very disappointing. Like the Punjabi songs, like you said. So, okay, he was a singer. He wanted to make it big. He was known because he wrote very vulgar songs. And when I say vulgar, it is like incredibly vulgar. And even I was quite surprised. It was like the lyrics will translate roughly into something like your brother-in-law is watching your sister-in-law bathing and then the cream comes out, you know.
Oh, like it's like really gross. Okay.
It is insanely graphic. So you're like, okay. And so he wants to perform and it's a very sort of cluttered field at the time. There are so many of these folksy performers like him, but somehow he makes it. And then he... So it's always like a duet. You'll always sing with a woman. And so he's singing with a woman and her parents are like, okay, enough now. We'll move you to sing with somebody else. So he marries her. And that is Pariniti Chopra. So, and then over the course of time, the militancy is at its peak. He's starting to get criticized because he's also really famous right now. He's doing a lot of records. So while, you know, Punjab is suffering from no food and killings and murders and things, he's still churning out his records because his music producer guy tells him, they want your music. Like, you must keep making music. So he does. But then he starts getting criticized by a very traditionalist sort of Sikhs who tell him that... your music is too dirty. You need to move towards devotional. So he starts getting threats. But he's very like, I don't want to and I will continue. So he does, for a stint, he does do some devotional stuff or whatever. So far, so good. And now for the bad things is that it felt like a very surface level film. Like there's very little context. So I only knew that Chamkila is Dalit because I had Googled it and I had read it before. Yeah, so in the movie, it's not dealt with in a very overt way.
Okay.
Like, it is just that he is from poverty. Mm. There is a reason why Pariniti's parents don't want her to marry him, but it's not really explained in this way. Also, I should mention he was already married at the time, but he married Pariniti anyway. And then that was a very distressing sort of thing to watch. Also, I think the movie did one thing, which is that they reduced his entire identity to the fact that he sings dirty songs. It keeps coming back to that. But I feel like as a character, there was much more to him than that, right? Like, why did he... The question as to why did he choose to make this music? The answer
because
to that
it's not
really
like
sort of
that
comes
was a genre. No, so it's not like that was a genre of music that at that point, like...
No, but he also does say towards the end, he's like, why do you keep singling me out and not the others? And I was like, yes, why? I wish this movie would give me a little bit of that context because I don't know. It just
and was also pushing the boundaries, na? His in a way, his character, he must have in real life been pushing the boundaries. So to not get into why someone would also want to do that, right?
Yeah, so it was, I think it vaguely tried to do that in the second half, but I just felt it could have been more. Okay, that is my biggest thing is the weakest link of
Pariniti
this film
Chopra.
Is Diljit.
Oh, Diljit?
Diljit's performance is like his wig. It is not good. It is so bland. He comes, he comes alive.
It is such a bad wig though.
Why? See, but Rajshree, my question is, why must it look so bad? Like, it could look a little better.
So Priyanka Chopra, by the way, her entire career, pretty much she has worn wigs because she's always had short hair. And she has had the best wigs.
Also, because she destroyed her hair after dyeing it red in that movie with that that alien movie with that Hrithik Roshan lookalike. What's
Which
it called?
Anyway, that film was so bad. Oh, that guy, Harman Baweja, he was her. Ah. What's Your Rashi?
Yeah, yes. Was it What's Your Rashi or Love Story 2015?
Oh, the other What's Your Rashi is the other film. That was his first film, I think. I'm a big Harman Baweja fan.
She apparently dyed her hair so much that it became like straw, and that's why she only does extensions
but
and
they
wigs.
Could have just found out who makes her wigs, no? Because
correct.
His
See,
wig
also,
was
that
terrible.
Diljit is a cut surd in the movie. So I would have liked to know more. Like, there's one small scene where his dad gets really annoyed with him and said, "Oh my god, did you cut off your hair?" And I'm like, "Yes, but why? Tell me."
Oh,
like,
they don't get into any of this.
No. It just stays at a very surface. And yeah, so with his acting, so I then read a bunch of reviews. Okay, like people are calling him incredible. Oh, he's
I was told must watch
he's
everywhere.
So no, he has this. So for me, he carried the same bland look throughout. Like he's getting threatened by a militant, he looks bland. His father's yelling at him, he looks bland. He's running away with Pariniti, he looks the same. So I found him the weak spot in what is otherwise a fairly competent movie. Again, towards the last 40 minutes, he somehow got a little into his character, maybe. I don't know. But only when he sang did his eyes sort of light up.
And what about her acting?
Because she's standing next to this bland, personalityless man. No, so she's looking radiant. Like, her eyes are emoting. She gives a smile. And I'm like, I can feel it. Because at least things are happening. Yeah. Like, and all the other smaller characters are not bad. You know, like, they're decent enough. It's just that I found him very... very one note, and I feel a bit bad to say it. Also, he looked like a cross between like Ranbir Kapoor and Dev Patel,
and Priyanka Chopra from Barfi. I felt his hair reminded me of Priyanka Chopra's hair in Barfi.
I think even her wig there was marginally better.
So I watched the promo events where Pariniti Chopra sang, and her singing is not great.
And her singing is bad, say it.
So, and then Diljit is made to sing right after her. So then it's even her, what you remember of her singing is even worse. So that was the extent of my association with this film, because I saw lots of promo events. Because it pops up, if by mistake you click on one on Instagram, it keeps popping up in your suggested thing.
See, I have this problem with Instagram, which is that it now only shows me widow reels. Like, it'll be like, I lost my husband 20 years ago to a boating accident.
What did you watch?
I moved on. And I kept watching these reels because I thought there's a punchline. But there was no punchline. But since I kept watching them, Instagram now thinks I'm obsessed with
reels
about widows.
I get Akshay Kumar reels because I watched two or three of them. And now I only get Akshay Kumar reels.
See,
and
I would much rather get that.
I watch them. They're quite entertaining. So it's carrying on. Or I get cooking reels. And then there's the other stuff which Instagram is listening to my conversations and the phone is like here. And then giving me those reels after that. But because of that, I kept seeing these Chamkila reels and I was like, this is not sounding good at all.
So I think she sings for herself in the movie also. And
which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, good for her. It wasn't horrible. Not her, like her live singing on the reels and things.
Oh my God.
But it was... But him, I feel like the thing is that, you know, when you watch him on stage, not that I have, but again, whatever clips I've seen, like he has so much presence. And in this movie, I just didn't feel his presence. And I think that's important when it's a biopic about he's playing the main character.
Yeah, you're playing the main character.
You want to feel it.
Also, I'm surprised, given that it's an Imtiaz Ali film, that Imtiaz Ali has made some doozies and all, but he is able to get his actors to act well. You might not like the film they are in, but they act very well.
Correct. And I usually would blame director only, but in this case, the others were clearly being directed.
Ha, this one was...
But also, I don't know, maybe other people are saying he was really good. Maybe my logic is...
I feel a lot of people just say for the heck of it, oh, very good, very good. They have no... It's like when people recommend food to me and then I order from that place and I'm like, what shit food is this? And then I realize they have no understanding of food only.
They have no taste, exactly.
Yeah, so they think that that food, it's the same way they think that they... So I just want to say that you have not convinced me to watch this film.
No.
So now I will definitely not watch it.
No. That is because you made me go on about his wig.
I'm not going to watch this. It's sounding...
Did I get bored? Was I looking at my phone? No. And I think that is a pretty good...
So I... clicked on because I realized yesterday that I will only be able to watch one of the films. So I clicked on Amar Singh Chowdhury.
And why was that? Why was that, Rachi? Why did you not do
because
your
I was working so hard, like Abhinandan.
Were you working so hard or were you going out?
No, I was meeting people and trying to understand their psychology and see whether they are like baby reindeer or not, like that. So it was all to do with work. But I clicked on Amar Singh Chamkila and I saw how long the film is. And then I clicked on Atom and I saw how long. I think it's the same length, maybe 10 minutes. But I was like, Atom is definitely going to be better than Amar Singh Chamkila, and I'm more interested in that topic. So I took an executive decision and I chose Atom. And I feel it was the right decision. That's all I'm saying. Okay, we have one announcement which I think you should make though about the TNM NL election fund.
Yes. So as you know, elections are coming up. The first phase of voting happens on Friday. And News Laundry has tied up with the News Minute yet again to bring you all the important stories straight from the ground. And this time, as you know, instead of one big fund, we're doing smaller projects broken up into themes, and you can decide which ones you'd like to power. From News Laundry and News Minute, we'll have 15 reporters, producers, and editors on the ground covering various states. It also includes shows by Manisha, Atul, Danya, and Sudeep, though. So head to newslaundry.com/2024-election fund and contribute.
And to take your mind off what I think will be dismal results from these elections, though.
Yes.
You can watch this film instead, which we watched, which is Atom, which is... Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah.
Atom, which is on Amazon Prime Video. And it is directed by Anand Ekarshi. It is a Malayalam... I wouldn't really call it a crime thriller. It's more like not a crime thriller, but it's a Malayalam film. It stars Vinay Fort, Sudhir Babu, Kala Bhavan Shajon, and it is set in a theatre group which has 12 members. I think it has 12 members.
I think.
And they are all male other than for one female member in the group. She has been, and it's a group which has been working together for a very long time because the woman has been part of the group for 16 years. So clearly the group has been around for that long. What is interesting is that they are not all full-time actors or artists. They all have day jobs. They do not come from well-off homes. Pretty much any of them come from well-off homes. One cooks in a restaurant. One is a petrol pump worker. Someone is a plumber. Someone is a priest. And one of them, the person who plays the villain in the play that is being staged by them is someone who plays the villain in films. So he is the draw. He is quite a draw for audiences and for a lot of press and PR that happens around this play because he's a film star.
The others are all theater actors, but he clearly has made some kind of name in film.
And he's been part of this play which is being performed for a while. For the last 2 years, he's been part of the theater group. Yeah. Now, what happens is that the play is performed, and on the night of one of the performances, everyone gets together in a hotel, which is a foreign guest, audience member says that, why don't you all come and stay at my hotel, which is empty, as a like as just a treat for putting up such a great play. And they all go to spend the night there. And other than for this woman, there's another one of the actors, his wife and child is also there, and she's sharing the room with them. She also happens to be seeing one of the other actors, which nobody knows of, that this is happening. But at that night, one of the people, one of her colleagues, sexually molests her. And the film is about what happens after that.
Yeah. So I think the thing is, it's like a very common sort of trope thing, no? I mean, and has the full like potential to have those usual cliches because, you know, everyone was drinking. She was also drinking. She was groped through a window and when she was asleep. And so did she even see who? So she says that she's convinced that it was the film actor Hari of the troupe who had molested her. But, you know, she didn't see him, or did she? So should everyone take her word for it? So then, so what I found interesting was, so the troupe gets together without Hari and without Anjali, who is the woman. And they all discuss. And like you said, they're a very mixed bag. Like one guy, which I thought was interesting, is used to be an editor at The Hindu, of course.
Yes.
And now he's just sort of living off his bureaucrat wife. And then, you know, so he's the liberal sort of model compass.
And he's the one they go to also for advice. And like he's considered one of the elders of the group that way.
The elders, who's also clearly, you know, smarter. And the others, you know, they're coming from various classes. And I thought it was very reflective of Kerala in general, like the petrol bunk attendant, the plumber, the cook. They were actually very empathetic towards her. And they clearly seem very fond of her. And it was enough that they all sort of implicitly said, you know, we should throw this man out of the group. And they discussed it in a very 12 angry men sort of way. So I was like, great, all good. Then that twist comes in, which is Hari drops in unannounced. And he, I mean, he's the film actor, right? And he said through his contacts, he has an exciting opportunity for the troupe. And, you know, to bring them a lot of money and a lot of fame.
Everyone will get, each person will get 8 lakhs, which is a lot of money for anyone.
Yeah. And especially when, and also especially when you remember the context that a lot of these men are coming from very poor backgrounds. Yeah. So then he drops in, throws his bombshell. He's very excited and then he leaves. So then, of course, the dynamic changes. Can you choose between money and fame and whatever? And then they go back to, but, you know, did it really happen? Did it actually happen? And what I liked is that also, you know, there are these, the very obviously liberals in the group, like the, like Vinay Fort, who is Anjali's girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, he's the seemingly progressive, trustworthy. He sort of blusters a lot about
it. And he's the one who's pushing through this thing that we must.
We must. You know, because he's also loves her. He loves her, and, like, as a partner. But then, you know, it's these seemingly progressive ones also who then sort of shake in their resolve by the end of this. And I feel like they're even worse than the men who judged her in the first place.
Yeah.
Because
also, so, the motivations of various people to either stand up for her or to not believe her. Although no one really very vocally doesn't believe her, to be fair to all of
them.
They are like, which even we would most probably say that you can't just take a person's word at it. We must, you know, let's at least speak to her again. Let's at least, we should let the person who's being accused have, give us his version of things. We should tell it. So it is, I felt it was very balanced the way they showed the reactions and how things change. Suddenly you'll say something and someone, how could you say it? And he says, but I'm just giving you my opinion. You said to give my opinion and this is my opinion. Now, you must listen to it as well. So,
but I think the most brilliant thing, which I only found out after I watched the movie, was that there is also this documentary called Thespians of Artem, which is a 60-minute documentary which is shot on the making of this film. And I realized that most of the actors are members of this real-life dance troupe in Cochin called Lokadharmi. So, for example, one of the guys, the oldest of the group, the one who had the dyed hair, and he was he's a headload worker in real life before he moved to the theatre. The guy who plays Jolly is a tile layer. One Aji is actually a painter in real life. One guy runs a motor workshop. Another guy runs he has a vegetable shop, you know. So it is actually that coming from very different classes, from very poor backgrounds. And it is the same people whom they brought to the movie. And that sort of added another dimension to it because it's so, and that, because like you said, the movie works because of their interactions. And their interactions worked because they've also been theatre actors doing this together for so
long. And everything is pretty much happening in that one house where everyone meets to discuss things. And there are only 12 characters. Those are the actors you're dealing with. So I did feel it could have been a little shorter. But I feel that with most films nowadays, like, you don't have to make a 2.5-hour film. This could have been done in 2 hours or less than 2 hours. Could have been a little shorter.
So it's an interesting thing to watch. I just thought, and you know, it reminded me a lot of how, like in Chennai theatre circles during this entire Me Too thing, again, like very prominent men were accused. And nothing happened. And then I remember at one point, a bunch of these theatre groups set up this meeting where they said, we'll have a meeting and we'll all chat to set up a posh committee. But the meeting was held in the house of one of the men who had been accused.
Of course.
So, and it's just, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you name a sort of sector in India and there is some sort of Me Too story attached. And yet this movie wasn't like a moralizing sort of, it just felt like, It felt very realistic in a way that was very interesting. So I really
liked it. I just wish it was a little shorter. But
also, I don't know if it was hyped up too much. Like, I thought it was going to be, or maybe my standard for Malayalam cinema is high now.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good movie.
I didn't think it was great. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, it was not the best. I mean, it was better than Chamkila, which is not
I'm telling you, there's no chance I'm watching this Chamkila. Every second we are passing through.
No, I need to find one person who agrees with me that he's just not a good actor.
I'll watch 15 minutes.
That person might be
you. I'll watch 15 minutes and get back to you about it. But I think that's about as much as I can watch of it. But I would recommend watching Atom. It's also very, I'm quite impressed that Amazon Prime, especially, I think Hotstar does it a little bit, but Prime has a lot of regional language films which they put up. So watch it. So that is it for this week, but we will be back next week, hopefully with something decent and awesome. And thank you, Jayashree.
Thank you, Rajshree.
And it's a wrap.
Thank you for your subscription. You're changing the world by changing the way news is funded. For the smoothest News Laundry experience, download the News Laundry app. It is the best way to listen to our paywall podcasts. And you'll also get access to all free News Laundry shows. Keep us ad-free and subscriber-funded. Help us grow. Tell people who listen to you to pay to keep news free. Subscribe to News Laundry. Keep journalism independent.